What is up? What is going on, everybody? This week, we are going to make all you ladies feel very guilty when you look down and see that ring on your finger. And we're going to do it on the other side of the song. Welcome back, everyone, to another new episode of The Threequel. As always, I'm with my two co-hosts, Brad Miller.
What's up?
And Mike Duranik.
How's it going?
Well, I don't know. I behind the curtain, Brad made me change how I do the intro, and I'm used to them responding and asking me a question, and that threw me off. So, welcome into the podcast. Thank you both of you for joining. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This week, we are doing 2006's Blood Diamond, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Connelly, and Jaimin Hansu. Yes, I did pronounce that correctly. Yes, I have been practicing for the last couple of days, so I could without Brad making fun of me. My pick for the month of December, and I guess I'll delay my opinions for as long as I possibly can. I'll just start with the simple question that I always do, and we can just get right into it here. What was your guys' first experience with this movie? Did you see Blood Diamond in theaters in 2006? Did you catch it later? Is this the first time you've seen it? If it is, did you know anything about it? If you had seen it before, what did you bring into this rewatch for the podcast?
Mine's pretty boring. I think it was just probably an HBO or something in my house back in the day. It was not one that I went to the theaters to see. I don't remember what drew me to it, or if it was just, you know, hey, there's a Leo movie, let's watch it. But yeah, it was just watching it in the house.
So I definitely saw this in the theater. I can't remember why I did necessarily, but if I recall correctly, this came out the same year as The Departed. Is that right?
Yes.
And so it was probably just, you know, Leo, a couple of big movies of his in the same year. And as we're going to talk about, I remember walking out of this thinking that this movie was probably underrated in terms of his performance compared with The Departed and some of his other movies. This, in fact, I kind of was a Leo hater up until this year. And the back-to-back of The Departed and this made me go like, well, okay, I can't really stand in that corner anymore, because as much as I liked to say that I felt like he was overrated, he was pretty clearly not. Once we got through this year, I didn't have a leg to stand on anymore.
I did not see this in theaters. I do distinctly remember seeing this at my grandparents' house. This was back when Netflix mailed you the movies. Grandma and Grandpa got this one on mail. I think I got about 30 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, maybe not. Probably just that first opening scene where they take Jaimin Hansu and they, like, cut the dude's arm off. So maybe 15 minutes before Grandma and Grandpa were like, yeah, you're not watching this, get out. And then I waited till they finished it, like a smart kid, stole it, finished it in the room that I stayed at when I stayed with them. So saw it then, very sneakily.
You called that the debauchery room? Is that what you called that room?
No, never at a grandparent's house. So, yeah, but I mean, I was, what, 11 years old. So, I mean, they made the wise move of saying no, and then I made the wiser move of taking it, and I'm glad I did, because this is, and you guys are going to give me crap, I can pull up the list if I need to prove it, this is one of my 10 favorite movies of all time. It truly is, and it's moved up since the last time we did a Jaimin Hansu movie, which was Gladiator, because Gladiator flew out of my top 10 as you guys destroyed it. So I always get scared. Whenever we get back to a point where I know I could suggest one of my 10 favorite movies, I get scared because I'm like, what if the same thing happens as it did with Gladiator? What if these guys convince me that the movie actually is not that good? I feel very safe in knowing that that will not take place today, just based on what Mike said about Leo's performance. This was what he got nominated for that year. He did not get nominated for The Departed. He got nominated for this. I think absolutely rightfully so. We'll get into all of that. And the way we do that is by talking about Rotten Tomatoes, which will be Brad, who won the game last week as he jumped in to play for Avatar. So, Brad, you will go first, guessing the Rotten Tomatoes score for Blood Diamond, and then I will have a chance to see if I can just really tap in and know what the score is of one of my favorite films.
Okay, so we've got on one side where I think the movie is. I guess we'll go cube here because this isn't just two sides. We've got on another side Ethan saying this is a top 10 movie of his, and
Brad, it's important for you to remember there are only 43 movies that are inside of his top 10.
This is one of his 30 top 10 favorite films.
So that's prestigious. This is prestigious ground.
But I do respect his opinion on films. But for some reason, I just have in my head that this would be the type of movie that was probably picked apart by critics. I think Leo has to prove himself in films. There are some that, like Titanic, that are probably highly overrated, and then there's ones that are good, like this one, that are probably underrated. So I'm going to go with a lower number. Gosh, with that lead up, I'm going to go a little lower than I would have thought. I'm going to go with like a 70. And guess that is pretty close, because I'm going to err on the side that they nitpicked this because of Leo. So I'm going to go with the 70. I know there's a long, drawn-out way of getting there, but I wanted to make it a little more difficult on Mike.
Well, you're making it more difficult on me, not on Mike.
Ethan.
But, okay, so I'm just going to start by saying Rotten Tomatoes is wrong. That's the answer I'm giving to my next question. I know at some point, this is what I'm basing this off of, I know that this movie was nominated for acting, not for the movie itself, which makes no sense to me, but we'll get into that. And I know at some point in my life, which, I mean, I guess, I don't know if you, sure, this will be the way that you guys end up saying I'm cheating, which I think I'm the one person that's never been accused of. I've seen the Rotten Tomatoes score of every movie we've ever done on this podcast. Like, when I watch a movie, I check the score. Now, not on the rewind. Hold on. Not on the.
I watched the movie and I checked the score.
The entire time that Brad has been accusing me of cheating, and this entire time, now the truth comes out.
And vice versa.
Now the truth comes out.
Not when I'm watching it for the podcast. I'm saying on my initial viewing. If I watch a movie for the first time,
sure,
I'm checking to see what people think about it.
So you in the debauchery room at Grandma Grandpa's, you immediately ran to the computer, and the first thing you did on the computer was, did Rotten Tomatoes even exist then?
No.
This is such a scandal. I don't even know where to go. But Ethan, where are you going with your
initial viewing when he was 11,
or throughout time? But I make sure not to do it while I'm rewatching it specifically for the podcast. I'm going to say a 69 because I remember being outraged years ago when I looked up the score of this movie.
So with that long drawn out thing, so I just want our listeners to know that being here with these two guys, it is awesome to watch Brad give a long drawn out explanation to try to lead you off the fact that he cheated. Then Ethan just comes right out and was like, look, I cheated, so I'm going to snipe Brad's cheating.
I have the worst record in this game, I guarantee it.
Well, that's exactly what a cheater would do, though.
True. It's a slow play.
Exactly. Well, listen, the audience has this at a 90%.
Correct. Okay? Good on it.
The critics' consensus is that Blood Diamond overcomes poor storytelling with its biting commentary and fine performances. And the critics have it in the range of a 63%.
Wow.
So that's one of the bigger gaps that I can recall that we've had, a 27-point gap.
And I got beat because Ethan cheated.
Right. Well, I mean, in fairness, I would feel bad for you, except that you were cheating too.
You also cheat. Since we all cheat, it's right.
Everybody's cheating, but Ethan, I'll toss to you because you already started this. I'll toss it back. Is Rotten Tomatoes correct at a 63?
Hold on. I was 7 off the mark, and somehow still cheated. Like, that's a pretty high gap to leave.
I was 6 off the mark.
Well, because you're sniping me by 1.
All of that aside, they're absolutely not correct. And again, like, whatever. I've already walked in and said this is one of my 10 favorite movies. Of course I'm going to be biased. But based on what this is, and this is a dramatic film with action, I wouldn't say that this is just an action movie. Like, I wouldn't label this, like, we're about to do Tombstone. That's an action movie, right? Like, this is not an action movie. This is a dramatic film that has fighting in it and a war going on in it. So labeling it as that and comparing it to other films that we've done, even comparing it to something, like, because we're going to, based on when it came out, comparing it to something like The Departed, that's a dramatic film that has fighting and action in it. You cannot, I am assuming The Departed had to be up in the 90s, it won Best Picture. 0% chance that this movie is 30% less than The Departed. This is a fantastic movie. Every time I watch it, I'm moved by something different. I mean, I was going to ask you guys last episode to guess which movies got me emotional this time, and then I realized it would be pretty obvious. Even though, you know, Kurt Russell and his mustache could bring a man to tears, it's not that. This is one of them. I break down at the end of this movie every single time, and it's a credit to, I'm also not the biggest Leo fan. This is the best performance he's ever given. I don't care what he won for. I don't care that, you know, he looked like he ate raw meat in The Revenant. That final scene in this movie, watching the journey that he goes on, which I think is strange that that's the consensus, because I think it's the exact opposite. I think the storytelling outweighs the commentary. It's the easiest thing in the world to get people to think, yeah, we shouldn't have a civil war happening over diamonds. Duh. But the story that this tells about this one man, the journey that he goes on, I think is the most impressive thing. I love this movie. I think they're wrong. Where are you guys at?
I mean, yeah, that number's too low. It's not as good as where you have it, in my opinion. I don't think it should be anywhere near someone's top 10, but... I mean, that's obviously an opinion statement, and your top 10 is your opinion, so I can't fault you for that, but my opinion is that you have it overrated. I think it's a solid movie. I think it's got some really great, well-acted scenes. There are different scenes where different people just bring it in this film, but overall, I think it got a bit repetitive to me. With some of the stuff that they were going through. That was kind of the theme, I thought, for this entire month, with repetition in the films. And it's like, okay, we get it. This, you know, you're trying to protect your family from this awful gang of people, and this gang of people is going to do awful, nasty things to others, and it's all this war for diamonds, and they probably could have cut 20 to 30 minutes of the film out if they didn't repeat that so much. So I think that's where the film kind of lost me. I think that I would agree a little bit with the storytelling that they knocked there, but there's some scenes that just kill it. And I'm sure we're going to hit some of those later. So I would put this, to me, high 70s, low 80s, probably somewhere like 78 to 83. So yeah, it's off, but I don't think it's off by like astronomical amounts.
Yeah, I don't have this in my top 10 of the movies we've watched, but I did place it just outside of the top 30. And so I've got it at 31 out of 96 to this point. I think it's a really good movie. I would definitely say that the fans are much more correct on this than the critics. I probably am somewhere in between the two of you in terms of your assessment of it, but I do think that this movie is probably close to what you said, Brad, where for whatever reason they put way too high of a bar on it for it to cross. It's hard for me to see this as not a movie that is Best Picture nomination worthy. And I think that it's got some exceptional acting performances throughout. And I wouldn't disagree that this is probably Leo's best performance in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, I think that they're wrong. I would put it in the upper 80s, low 90s, probably right around where the fans have it.
It's interesting how our ratings equate to our numbers, because you had it at, you said 31, and I have it at 27. So I actually rated it higher on the list, but score it less on that scale, so, and vice versa for you. So, yeah, it's interesting. Well, for sure.
I think it's impressive that, I mean, Leo... this is probably the least likable character he's played in a movie, right? Like, I can't think of someone who's a worse... I mean, his character's rough around the edges in The Departed, but he is morally the most correct person in that film. He's just going through a lot, and he's a kind of a violent guy at times. But, like, this dude's a smuggler who is taking advantage of a man's son being conscripted into as a child soldier, right? Like... he's not a good guy. And by the end of it, maybe you guys don't get as emotionally affected as I do, but I think it's still heartbreaking, like what he goes through by the end of it. The choices that he makes. And I think that it is a positive in the storytelling, because I remember thinking back to the last time I saw this, when he grabs up his kid and offers up his kid to the colonel, I'm like, oh my God, he's actually going to turn on him. Like, and then they get out of it, but then he takes the diamond from him and the pilot's like, get rid of him. You're like, this could be another chance that he could still do. Like, he just, and he's like fighting against his nature of like, he's a terrible person right up until he makes the right choice at the end. Like, he's an incredibly unlikable guy. But Leo makes him, you can't take your eyes off the screen because of the performance that Leo is giving. And I think that's a credit to him. I think I've always been a big Jennifer Connelly fan. She's fantastic in this. I know she won for A Beautiful Mind, and she's really good in that. But I love how she really is his equal in terms of holding him accountable and calling him on his crap. And then Jaimin Hansu, the dude is a rock star. He was also nominated. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I looked at it, and I think it was Alan Arkin that won this year for Little Miss Sunshine. Mm. There's no way. I think.
I mean, that's a fine performance and an enjoyable movie, but it. I mean, it's an entirely different category compared to this performance.
Yeah, this is. I mean, those two, Eddie Murphy in Dreamgirls, and then Mark Wahlberg in The Departed. I don't think any of those people hold a candle to what Jaimin Hansu did in this movie. I think unequivocally I can say he got robbed. Like, his performance, I always think back to the scene in the jail cell when he strips down when the guy is saying that he has the diamond. Mm-hmm. That right there should have been the scene they played as he walked up to accept the award, because that was fantastic. Leo's a little bit different, and that was kind of the story of his whole career, is that he just ran into people giving all-time performances when he would be nominated. This was kind of one of those years. He was going up against Forest Whitaker won for The Last King of Scotland, which is fantastic. He was going up against Will Smith for The Pursuit of Happiness, mm-hmm. Ryan Gosling for Half Nelson. So Leo's, even though I think that's the best performance Leo's ever given, it's a little more understanding, but Jaimin got absolutely robbed, in my opinion.
Oh, you want feedback?
If you had anything about the performance.
I'm trying to tiptoe around this because I don't mean it in any way to this. I don't want it to be a racist remark of any kind. But like, when you have actors portraying what goes on in Africa, and it's something that I don't understand, and then you see what, so, you know, some of these slavery pieces and things that have come out, like, it feels like there are a million epic performances on these things. And to me, all of the good ones kind of bunch together, and I'm just amazed by all of them. Even the stuff in...
You're talking like from movie to movie to movie about this kind of stuff?
Yeah. So okay. For me, it's hard for me to look at him and say, that's amazing acting, versus, you know, if you take someone from another film and compare it, just in a vacuum in this film, yeah, he killed it. He every bit the part that Jennifer Connelly or Leo did, he held his own there. But to call it like a great performance, it's hard for me to understand and grade that, because like, you watch some of these, like I was saying, some of these slavery pieces or other ones that have come out, and to me, I'm just blown away every time. So like, I kind of feel like my gauge of their acting is off, because I like so many of them that it's like, okay, clearly I'm missing the nuances of this, because it's emotional, it's terrifying, you know, some of these things that they're going through. So it's hard to discern sometimes for me what a great performance is there. So but yeah, I don't mean to say that to take anything away from his acting. I just, it's hard for me to grade.
Well, I think for me, the one thing that is maybe a little bit different. So when I first watched this, I was in college, right?
Okay. Yep.
And his performance hit me hard and was impactful when I was in college, which was obviously a number of years prior to becoming a father, right? He made me feel the pain that a father would have in that situation. He made me feel the just complete, you know, against all odds, determination that a father would feel to find his son. And he made me feel that years before I had a son. And rewatching it, as I have now a few times since having a kid, it's not in the red eye territory, but I've probably watched this a half a dozen times in my life, maybe a hair more. His performance is every bit as strong. And so what I would say is what makes this performance stand out to me is how effectively he communicates the emotions of being a father in that situation. They rang true when I was, you know, 20 or 21. They ring true now that I've got three kids of my own. And I think to me, that's what makes that performance really an all-timer in that regard.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not... obviously, I love this movie and always will. I mean, I won't say it's perfect. I think what I noticed this time, and Brad, you said it gets a little repetitive. You know, we've talked about how can you tighten up a movie. I mean, this is 2 hours and 20 minutes. I think, and I've thought this before, and I thought this time too, I think if you pulled out, and I love, you know, grew up on the Mummy movies, right? Love Arnold Vosloo as the Mummy. If you pulled out the Colonel Curtsy character, and streamline the ending of this movie a little bit, I think that would probably tighten it up and make it a little better. I think because you have, it is such an emotional moment with, I looked up his name last night, I think it's David Hardwood or Hardware, the guy that plays the captain, with the one eye. That's such an emotional moment where Hansu is back and then the helicopters come in and they're fighting and he kills him. And like, you've seen, you know, Jaimin's not a violent man. He has that one moment, and I don't know what that word is, so I won't repeat it, because it has to be something pretty derogatory that Leo calls him, and he turns on him, and they fight. But he's not a violent or aggressive person, and he just lets that all out. Like, that's an crazy, like, emotional moment, and then we kind of pause it, so that the colonel can come in, and then we've got the kid, and then we're going to go out and look for the thing. And, like, I think there could have been a more streamlined way for Leo to get hurt in that first fight. We find the diamond, we go, instead of bringing it up, stopping it, and bringing it up again. I think that would be that moment.
Yeah, that's probably probably the best place to cut it. I was kind of sitting there trying to think, or sitting here trying to think, where would you cut it? Because I agree. I think that it does drag a little bit. This is probably a movie that would have been better at 150 or 2 hours flat than 220. And I think you're right. I think you could have had that character in there, but almost had it be the unpaid off. Like, he came in to provide air support thinking that Leo was going to bring him back the diamond, and then that never resolves.
Yeah.
And you don't gain a whole lot from that that you couldn't gain by just cutting that out.
Because when he kills Curtsy, like, I mean, I don't necessarily... Like, that guy's probably a not great person, but I don't have, like, hate for him the way I do for... When I looked it up, his name's Captain Poison, which, what a great name for for a bad guy. But that guy is, like, dude needs to die bad, right? Like, he is as bad as it gets as a human being. Whereas the colonel, probably not good, but, like, also, too, like, he's a South African fighting for his own country's army. Like, yes, he wants the money, but it's not, like, it, and he's dirty, but, it, like, I don't have hate. I mean, I probably have more hate for Michael Sheen's character because of what he's doing versus the colonel, and, like, I don't need to see him die.
Well, and I think the other thing is that they allude, you know, they give you the backstory a little bit about how Leo is connected with this guy, but there's not really a payoff to that. There's no emotional stakes there, and so they probably would have been better off keeping the movie with where the emotional stakes were.
The only thing that drags through is when he gives him the dirt and says, like, you're never going to leave here. And sure, that pays off when he dies, but that could have been the bartender that talks to him about, like, this is my country. You could have had that line come in there. You don't need a new character in 20 Extra Minutes film. So, yeah, I'm not saying it's perfect, but that'd be where we're at. We don't need to spend too much time else. Like, we just talked about Jaimin. We've talked about Leo plenty of times on this podcast. I don't think we need to go anywhere else there. Behind the camera, we have Edward Zwick, which I think is pretty interesting. And I think it's, you know, we talked about, like you said, this movie probably is going to be nitpicked more just because it's Leo, and sometimes he has to prove himself because of who he is, that kind of stuff. Edward Zwick has kind of had that career. When I look at movie like Glory, I think Glory is fantastic. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember loving that movie. And based on the fact that I have looked at Rotten Tomatoes scores before, not just to cheat on the show, I think that's a lower scored movie than I would think it would be.
Did he just subtly admit to, he goes, I admitted I looked at them before, but not just to cheat on this show. So I think he's admitting now
that the wheels are really coming off of the entire thing. But hey, we made it almost 100 movies before you finally decided to come to confession. So congratulations, Ethan.
Carrying on that thought, he also directed The Last Samurai, a movie I remember thinking is a pretty good movie that probably wasn't that well received. And then Love and Other Drugs. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It's a romantic comedy with Jake Gyllenhaal. I love it. I think it's great. I know that thing is rotten on the tomato meter. So this guy has a, maybe he just makes movies that I enjoy, but making movies that I think are pretty good that are pretty undervalued by critics. So I don't know, just when I say those movies, if you guys even knew who Edward Zwick was, if you make a connection there, if you're a fan of those movies as well. But based on his very limited filmography, I think he's a pretty damn good director, just if you take into account this, Last Samurai, and Glory.
In a previous life, if he had scissor hands, that's the only way I knew who this guy was. If he didn't, then no, I've never heard of him before.
I didn't know his name, but I do know a number of his movies as you were naming them, and one that you didn't mention that I actually have probably seen more than most of the other ones is Legends of the Fall. I'm a fan of westerns in general, yeah, and those thematic kind of timepieces, and so that one with Brad Pitt and Anthony Hopkins. I think you make a good point. As I look kind of through here, a lot of his movies nominated for a bunch of different things from different boards in the Academy, but doesn't seem like he gets a whole lot of Academy love, right? Glory had a nomination for Best Director from the Golden Globes, right?
Okay.
Same thing. He got nominated Golden Globes Best Director for Legends of the Fall as well. And so, yeah, just an interesting career.
Yeah, and I know he has a history of directing people to nominations, too. I'm pretty confident. He did Pawn Sacrifice, if you guys have ever heard of that or seen that. It's a chess movie, but I think Tobey Maguire got nominated for that. I know Denzel won for Glory. Obviously, the nominations that came out of this. He has a history of directing people to a lot of success. Apparently, he was also producer on Shakespeare in Love. So he does have an Academy Award on his mantle, but for a very different reason.
Well, and I'm looking at it, and it doesn't go into the details, and I won't go down that list, but the movies that he directed here, 18 total Academy Award nominations and 4 wins. So some love there, but a lot more nominations than wins.
Yeah, you get to a point where that's, you know, if you keep consistently having people churning out great performance after great performance, you'd think maybe there'd be some recognition that you might have something to do with that. I mean, even, you know, that's your job, is to get that on the camera. So,
yep.
But that pretty much covers all of that stuff. I think we can transition into favorite line, favorite scene for Blood Diamond. And I'm interested to see where you guys go. Let's go favorite line first. Let's say favorite scene. If there was anything, there's always been one that has just always been my favorite, but I don't know if it's as obvious for you guys.
For me, it's probably the line about God leaving this place a long time ago. I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but he says he, you know, something about looks around to see God and realizes God left a long time ago, and it just really makes you think about, you know, well, one, I guess the reality of that, and then it made me think about how I feel about God's presence here, and I like lines in films that make me kind of stop and think a little bit, so that's where I'd go with my favorite line.
That scene is actually, I'd forgotten about that scene when I watched this last night, and like when he breaks down when he's talking to her, I was like, oh, like he really is a great actor. Like that's some powerful stuff.
And I, again, kind of coupled with Brad's line, it just kind of, it gives an atmosphere to the continent and to this civil war and this ongoing thing that really drills home the point that, yeah, this is not a good place. This is a bad place, and people are just trying to survive.
So I have two different things. There's the best line to me in this movie is comes in the final phone conversation that him and Jennifer Connelly have, which... to get those performances when, obviously we know, like, they're not actually talking to anyone on the other side of that phone, right? They're just staring at a camera and giving those emotional performances. But she says, you know, tell me where you are and I'll come help you. And his response of, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And I used to think, like, I was so upset that they didn't end up together. That's how I used to look at this movie. And then this time when I watched it, of course, these two people could never just, like, live a happy life together, right? Like, that would be impossible. But for some small moment, they, like, found this, like, peace in each other. And I think that that's about as much as those two people could love someone outside of themselves, what mm-hmm. they feel in that moment. And I think it comes through really well. And I think that's perfect closing to that. But funniest line in the movie is, I like to get kissed before I get fucked. That's the best moment. And Brad called it. So
I did call it, and you said off air said something about sharing that moment, and I don't want to kiss you or do the other thing either, so we won't be sharing that at all. So we can leave it at that. I want to give one shout out to another line though, and that's the you come here with your laptop computers, your malaria medicine, and your little bottles of hand sanitizer and think you can change the outcome. And that one also made me stop and think a lot too about when I've had, you know, a good intentions in traveling to other countries and doing things. And I'm wondering, is it just a catalyst to being able to travel to that country? So it made me think, like, how do they receive our good intentions sometimes?
Yeah, he says something about, like, the missionaries or something. He said something about, like, you're only here until you realize you're actually not helping anyone. And that stood out a lot, too. Favorite scene, guys? What's the best scene from Blood Diamond?
Since I used it for the favorite quote, I'm not gonna say the one where they're sitting around talking in those emotional moments, but I think that's up there. But I'll say it's when they knock out they shoot the other soldiers, the guys that are trying to steal the diamond, and as he's getting ready to dig a little deeper, he looks up and his son has a gun pulled on both of them, and then the reaction that he has to that, and he starts listing all these things to help his son reminisce on the past and things that he's loved in the past, and you just see the tears fall down, and just that powerful moment between a father and his son, and realizing that his son's going to be able to recover from this after all. Just a really powerful scene. So I'm going to pick that one.
Mine, it's what I said when the attack helicopters come in and Jaimin fights Captain Poison, as we now know his name to be. I just think that, like, that's the peak of that guy being the worst person in the world. What he threatens, like, you know, he says he's going to find his wife and his daughters and all that stuff. Like, that guy, like, this is the moment where this guy is actually the worst person. And we see that play out. But also, too, we see a moment of, for Leo, he recognizes his son and is willing to put himself in harm's way to protect that kid. He tackles him into that ditch when the helicopter's coming. Like, that's a pretty big character moment for him, too. And that just looks awesome, the way they film that when the helicopter's flying, all that stuff going around. I think that was done really well, telling stories, too, in the middle of action, which is why I think this movie is as great as it is. So that's my favorite scene.
Yeah, I'll just go with an oddball one that's not going to win any Academy Awards, but I enjoyed it every time I've watched it. And so for me, it is just when he is trying to smuggle the initial diamonds out in the animals, the goats, the sheep, whatever they are. And he's just walking across, and they're like, you just crossed into here. And he's like, well, here's my National Geographic stuff. And just every part of that, I just enjoy that scene. I think it's a particularly well-done scene.
Bonus points here. Little trivia question. We haven't done these trivia questions in a while, but... Can you guys tell me, there's an ambassador in this movie that, you know, he's at the very beginning, and then he announces Jaimin's character at the end at that summit or whatever they're at. Can you tell me who that was? Can you tell me why he was so famous, where that guy came from?
I have no idea. I can't even picture who you're talking about in the film.
You guys remember Seventh Heaven? That old show?
Oh, yeah.
The Reverend from Seventh Heaven popping up.
Yeah, I could have said that if I knew. When you said ambassador, it wasn't coming together. But yeah, I recognized him in those scenes.
I looked it up last night on IMDb, not on Rotten Tomatoes, because I don't cheat, and saw who he was. So we'll see. Next week, I am going to be in the hot seat for the Rotten Tomatoes game. And that is while we are talking about Tombstone, Mike's pick for the month of December. So join us next week as we talk Tombstone. Other than that, guys, for Mike, for Brad, I'm Ethan, and we'll see you next time.